The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Email Joanne right now, Reality Radio 101 at yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, and welcome to the show, Down the Garden Path, on this nice and snowy Monday. Down the Garden Path, my gardening show, is where my goal is to continue to share down-to-earth practical advice and ideas for your plants, garden, and landscape design. I continue to hope that you find this show interesting and helpful, and if you have any questions for me, you can contact me at joanne@downtoearth.ca, or check out my website at www.downtoearth.ca, or all those contact information that Gary told you at the top of the show there. So, and any social media links that are on my website as well. So, happy Groundhog Day.
Is that today?
That is today.
Okay.
I'm not hearing anything in my mic.
You're not hearing anything? No. We'll see if we can fix that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, yes, happy Groundhog Day. Oh, there we go.
Okay.
The show was playing in the kitchen when I left the house today with the Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Classic show.
I never got that movie. I just didn't understand it.
No.
No. But anyway, so did he see his shadow?
Ontario one. Oh, I don't know. The one what? That if they don't see their shadow, it's early spring.
Yeah, I guess.
But
so what
the American, no, he did not see a shadow, but the American one, Ponxatelli Phil, I believe,
yes,
did see his shadow.
So what does that mean? Six more weeks or eight more weeks of winter?
6 more weeks of winter there.
Who the heck made that up?
I know.
That whole thing is so silly, isn't it?
I know. I think it's now known more for that movie with Bill Murray than it is actually for the poor groundhog.
Yeah, poor thing.
Wired and Willie, there you go.
Wow.
So
either way, we got a lot of snow. We're in southern Ontario
where
we broadcast from. And I know the Northeast United States got hit again, but we got quite a bit of snow as well. And it's cold, and it's going to go down quite a bit more colder over the next 24 hours here in southern Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to warm weather.
Yes.
We want to plant.
Now, did your family, I know my son who goes to school in Upper State New York, school was closed.
Mm-hmm.
Their college was closed today, so that was their first snow day.
Wow.
Officially, he woke up to, he woke up to no power as well. So he said, woke up to no power and no school, but they got power on shortly after waking up.
I bet he was happy, though.
He was happy. He was happy.
He could kind of hang out and not worry about anything.
So. I think so. So it was a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only thing with the power going out, who knows how much that affected the cafeteria, because I asked him, I said, do you still have food?
Oh,
and all his one-word answers are typical, somewhat, he said.
Yeah.
So he's famous for his one-word answers in my texting, which is typical for teenage boys.
It is, yep.
Yeah, so it definitely was far-reaching, this storm, from that area, and I think different parts of southern Ontario got different amounts, but we certainly did. And I have to confess, I kind of love it. I think looking outside now, mind you, I did not have to shovel it, so I apologize to all those out there that had
That's
to shovel it.
That's why you like it.
I know, but it just looks pretty, and it's quiet. It's just something about it versus that, brown, winter, harsh, litter-covered landscape that we have been seeing for the last, 8 weeks of winter. So, anyway, I look out the window and I found it a little cheery. The sun came out this afternoon and it looked lovely. But I know my other son, who was home and had to dig out the end of the driveway for me to in order to leave, wasn't as appreciative of the snow.
Yeah, of course.
So, it's just me on the show today. I don't have a guest today, but I did want to recap some of the past couple of shows in January in case you missed them, and then tell you about some guests I have coming up in February and beyond. I've
very exciting.
I've got some exciting news, and it's nice to have things planned in advance so I can let you know who to listen for. So, I'm looking forward to sharing some of that with you today. First of all, the most important thing, I don't know if you remember back to the first show in January when we were all in that clean up from Christmas and declutter and clean out our houses mindset. I was talking about houseplants and the easiest ones to take care of and the ones that also clean the air in our homes and offices. So that went on to be, not only did I talk about that on the show, but I did a newsletter article. And I ended up having to break that into two issues. So my January newsletter contained the first half of that article, and February's will go out this week, this Thursday. So please check it out. You can sign up for my newsletter on my website at downtoearth.ca, and you'll get the second issue, or the second part, of Plants That Filter the Air. So I did have a few people mention in social media, well, don't all the plants filter the air? And yes, most do, to some extent. But the study that I mentioned with the NASA scientists found that they really just tried to study the plants to figure out which plants did a better job and did a better job of getting rid of certain chemicals in our homes that just exist naturally in carpet and furniture, that type of thing. So that's what the article focuses on, not only the best ones that filter the air, but also the easiest ones to grow. So I didn't mention some of the high-maintenance plants like ficus and Boston fern that I know can be really challenging. So I hope you take a look at that article, and I hope you pick up a plant or two.
Well, so we need a few more plants because we're saying the average.
Yes, you saw 15, that,
yeah. Yeah, 15 to 18 plants, healthy plants.
Yeah, I did some research today, and I wondered how much. So as much as a plant is, I think, helpful, the research I did today online was they recommend 15 to 18 healthy plants in a house per average size house will really make a big impact. Now, I appreciate that is a lot of plants. Although I think Elaine has, I think you've got quite a few.
We do. But you know what? She would honestly, I'm not kidding you. If we're like at 10 or 12 or whatever, and we went up to 18 or even 20, she would love that.
Yeah.
Because she loves that, right?
Yeah.
And she loves taking care of them.
Yeah. And it is something, just having something green and growing in your space. So, if that's a lot for you and that seems overwhelming, then don't worry. I think just try the best you can. I think even if there's a plant in each room, I think it's very beneficial.
Yeah.
So I know I'm not close to that 15 to 18 myself, but I've been really trying to introduce a plant into each room. I know I've got some rooms, like the boys' bathroom has a nice ledge and kind of bay window, and I can get a lot of plants in there. So I do have quite a few in there, but I've just added some more. I have some more in my office as well. So I'm working on it, and I think it's a good goal to have for my listeners to try and do that. And they don't all have to be big, plants that sit on the floor and kind of take up a large amount of space.
Right.
They can be small plants that trail and don't trail on a shelf. I have a shelf in my kitchen that I've got to plant on. So, yeah, so I think there's some nice decorative ways to do it. And I think in these days, and you look in magazines, a lot of people decorate with artificial plants.
Yeah, but it's not improving air quality.
Right, exactly. So just substitute. So use that same design theme or those design ideas, but use a real plant. So, yeah, so I think that you can definitely look for magazines for that type of information.
And you know what? A good point to bring up is, folks listening, that when we're, you know, the reason we have flu seasons and people get colds and all kinds of respiratory infections and things in the winter, first of all, you're inside most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you have a great air filter system in your furnace, you're recirculating germs and mites and all kinds of stuff. And you're not really getting clean oxygen considerably. So if you had a lot of these plants in your home, this can drastically improve with air quality. And that's a good thing to remember to help you because, you know, as I say, you're not actually in the house opening windows all the time in the cold, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this
and
is something good to
really
do.
And really the cost is pretty, you know, they're not really expensive in the scheme of things. So so it's really a reasonable and a small step to take. And I think it benefits you even in the summer when you know, you're outside more and the air is a little bit different. I think there's still, you know, it's one of those things that helps you 365 days of the year, definitely to think of. So
well, I'm going to tell Elaine to get some more because NASA is recommending
15 to 18
healthy plants to improve air quality. And God, we can do that here with all the people coming in here breathing.
Yes.
So I'm going to.
How's
like
your plant
it.
Doing there
it's
in the corner?
I just felt it. I'm going to have to get a little water.
Okay.
I have the water right here. Yep. I'm going to do it while I take a break here.
Okay.
So, but it's doing great.
All right. I meant to bring the pot with me, but I found one that actually hangs from the ceiling. Kind of upside down, that might work here, especially. So I've got to bring the pot in and see if you're into trying it. So it was kind of an impulse purchase. I'd seen it actually in Corning, where my son is at school, and kind of couldn't resist. It was kind of a neat thing. And then I've had them sitting on my shelf. I haven't used them. So
I'm thinking in there hanging some plants.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of desk space, right?
No, but I would hang them on. Yeah, it would be nice in here.
So I'll have to bring that in next week.
Thank you.
I will remember that.
And I just watered my plant, by the way.
I did. I just saw you.
I did the finger. It wasn't really, really dry because I watered it like I think 2 days ago or 3 days ago because it doesn't need water every day.
No, even once a week, just when I come. Yeah. That's
so I just checked it and I just gave it a little bit. So is that all right?
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. I also, after talking about houseplants, I've gotten a few questions online from some of my customers, so I thought I would share a few with you.
Yeah, and by the way, Elaine just texted me. She checked the plant tonight, and she says, it doesn't need water yet.
That's funny. She's texting you from upstairs.
Yeah, from upstairs, listening to your show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's good. Uh-oh, Elaine. We'll have to tell him just that he shouldn't touch
it. Yeah, I just did, though, but
okay.
So I screwed up. Doesn't
That's
matter.
That's all right.
She's good at that. She gets it.
So one of the things, which like you were mentioning with all the sickness going around, people are saying their plants are really drying out, especially the tips. And really, it's because of how, with our indoor heating, how dry our homes are, and we're really lacking in humidity. And most plants really benefit from having some humidity added to them. I know I mentioned, I talked at one of the Christmas shows about Norfolk pines, and I'm trying to bring mine back to life, and it certainly is having some real trouble with that struggle with the dryness in my home. So it is quite easy to create kind of humid conditions in your home. One of them is to group plants together because then they give it off and kind of together create some humidity. But another thing to do is put your plant on a tray of gravel, which doesn't sound very exciting for your home. But what I've done is I actually had some of those really nice cream-colored decorative stones. I think they used to be in a candle holder, that type of thing. So I had some really nice ones. And I put them in, and sometimes you see those clear plastic saucers that you put under plants in case you overwater them. So I've done that. I had a large, very large one, and I put all my nice decorative stones in that and then sat my Norfolk pine on top. And I filled that with water. Now, you still want the plant touching the gravel, not necessarily the water. But you can group your plants on trays like that. And that will definitely help. So you'd water the plant, but you could also keep water in that tray, and that will help create some humidity in that room that'll benefit the plant. So it's something, you know, pretty small, again, very inexpensive, but it can really help.
The things we learn on Down the Garden Path Joanne Shaw.
That's right.
Right.
So, yeah, and I think that, again, I think that's an easy thing to do. And I used to think about it when people would say, oh, gravel trays, like that's going to look tacky in my living room. But I was able to do it. I was moving baskets one day of stuff, and I saw this bag of nice decorative stones, and I thought, oh, that would look pretty. So not that anybody can, it's not a focal point in my room, but it's not like it's, you know, gravel from the driveway. Or the backyard.
That works.
Yeah,
right?
It's functional for sure, but certainly not as attractive. So definitely give that a try, and that will help your tips of your plants.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And
very nice.
Another question that came to me from one of my customers that I did a landscape design for a few years ago, he emailed me about having all these little bugs and gnats all over his plants and all over his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wondering where they come from. And I've had that situation. I had that situation last year. Basically, it means you're overwatering your plants.
Really?
And
that's what that is?
Yeah, they hatch, those little bugs like lay their eggs in soil. And so your plant might have come from the store with these eggs in it. And if there's too much moisture, then that's a perfect situation for the eggs to hatch. So we no longer have chemicals. We used to have chemicals that you'd sprinkle into the soil to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we no longer have that available to us, which is good, because that obviously meant that they wasn't good for us to breathe in or have them in our house. So I have found a couple of things to help me with that. First and foremost, and this sounds counterintuitive, Gary, but stop watering your plants.
Yeah.
Let them dry out.
I'm getting it from both ends.
That's right. That's right. So we want to completely, well, maybe not completely, but at least the top 2 or 3 inches of your soil to dry out.
Yep.
So that way when the adults lay their eggs in the soil, the eggs won't hatch, because they really want, they don't like the dry environment.
Okay.
The next thing is to get rid of, eventually, if you want to, we're patient. If that's all you did, it would work, and all those adult ones that are flying around will slowly die off. But if you really want to get rid of them, like I did, I recommend purchasing some of those yellow sticky traps.
Okay.
And they've got them so you can hang them, or you can put them on these little sticks and actually put them in your plants. I know they're not the nicest thing to look at, but it's pretty practical. And this will, so all the little adult gnats that are flying around, it'll catch them. Yeah, so
that's,
you know,
pretty
after
good.
A few weeks.
It's better than landing in our butter.
That's right.
Yeah,
like fruit flies in that time of
year,
right?
Yeah.
So those are my two big tips, and I know they can be pretty annoying, those little gnats, but they come in the soil. Like I said, the eggs are already there. It's not anything that we do or we cause. We just, by overwatering, we encourage them to hatch. So so once it seems to be under control, you can start, you know, going back to regular watering, but really being careful not to overwater.
Okay. Good
All
advice.
Right. So hopefully you won't have gnats flying around in the studio.
Yeah,
next
and that's okay. But you know, when you say you recommend purchasing the sticky traps.
Yes.
And you know, you're right. People would say, well, I don't want them things. Oh, come on. It's just a little thing. It could be, you know.
Yeah. I looked online. There were some that said you can make them with index cards and honey. And yeah, if you're going to go out and do that kind of thing, I don't know.
I'd rather eat the honey.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a waste of honey, to be honest. I don't think you're not investing a lot of money. And they don't have to be out for very long, and they are handy in the sense that they're folded. They are very sticky, and they do have the little sticks that kind of clip onto the yellow card and then stick in the pot of soil. So
that works.
Yeah, it works.
Very nice.
It works. Why reinvent the wheel when we already know what works?
That's the thing with me, man. If it's already out there, just go for it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. I'm not all about reinventing the wheel.
No.
Let's figure out what somebody else has done and go from there. So I've got one more question, but maybe we'll talk about that when we come back.
Want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right.
You are listening to Down the Garden Path, and I am Joanne Shaw, and we will be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101.
Everyone's watching to see what you do. Al's West Indian Food Mart in Pickering would like you to visit their store for a wide variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, halal meats, fresh and frozen fish, and provisions from the islands. They have weekly specials at unbelievable prices for the whole family. Drop by today and see for yourself. Then fill your cart up with something from the island. Yeah, man. Al's West Indian Food Mart is located at 1660 Kingston Road and Brock Road in Pickering on the northwest corner, Units 7 and 8. They offer excellent service and they will even customize your meat orders. Come over to Al's West Indian Food Mart today at 1660 Kingston Road in Pickering. Their telephone number is 905-686-2584. That's 905-686-2584.
When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-through yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer, and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, making everyone's paradise look beautiful, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you. We are back. You're listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Thank you again for listening. And please, as I'm answering a few questions that I've gotten over the last couple of weeks from my customers, if you're out there and you have a question about houseplants or a comment or a story, please drop us an email and let us know. I'd love to hear from you. So once again, that's realityradio101@yahoo.com. And we're talking, this first part of the show, we're talking about houseplants. So the other question I get asked often is, like Elaine, you already have a lot of plants. So is there a way that you can just take cuttings or propagate the plants that you already have to make more? And that is very easy. And I don't know about the listeners, but I have memories of my grandparents, my grandmother always having, you know, another plant cut and soaking in water, getting ready to put into soil to grow. So, yes, it's a very easy thing to do. Again, plants are pretty cheap, so I would just do it to some of the easier ones. again, I spoke about pathos and philodendron and wandering Jew. That's a beautiful purple flower, purple leafed plant. A lot of the trailing plants are quite easy to do that with, where you just kind of cut off quite a good section of the stem that contains a few leaves and then soak that in water until roots start to form. I think most of us did that in school, really, didn't we? With different things. So that is definitely easy. There are ways, and you can read online about ways to, like, I have a rubber tree plant that came from my mother's rubber tree plant that you need to, you know, you need to cut a section and you need to wrap it in moist paper towels and wrap it in saran wrap. It's called air layering, and it's quite a, what I think, more complicated method. And that was really a sentimental thing for her to give me a section of her rubber tree plant. But overall, I think it's I hate to say it, but low maintenance, down to earth, practical advice
means go buy
a new plant.
And then you could use it in the future for new snow tires.
So keep it simple. So that's all we have today about houseplants. So unless you write in with some more questions. I wanted to talk about, kind of recap, that was the January 5th show, and my January 12th show was just me again talking about, and on a day like today, landscape design is probably the last thing you're thinking about with your yard and driveway covered in snow.
But maybe people are, because they're looking outside.
Yes.
And they say, yeah, it's beautiful, the snow, it's covering everything, beautiful white, but you know what? I'm not a winter person. I don't ski. I don't play hockey. I want to plant.
That's right.
So maybe they are thinking.
Yeah. And it is a perfect time to plan. Absolutely perfect time to plan. And I did a show. I just do want to mention that I will let you know as soon as it's up, but all my shows should be up on my website soon. And I know I keep saying that, but they will be there. So the January 12th show was about 6 reasons to hire a landscape designer. Very quickly, I'm going to just number those off. I'm not going to talk about the whole show again, but designers see the big picture. Designers can save you time. Designers will definitely save you money. And designers have contacts. So we know the good guys, and we know who to stay away from. So that is some.
Would you also
reasons.
Recommend, if someone was looking for a design company, also to check the Better Business Bureau, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm not. I've tried that a little bit within Canada. I don't know if Canada's as good at that as the
U.S.
Yeah. But definitely, I mean, as much as I recommend them and I've worked with them before, I do recommend, and even my contractors do, they recommend you go to look at a past job or a couple of past jobs.
Yeah.
You can certainly talk to past customers, just like with anything. I mean, I think a referral says a lot.
Yeah.
In the sense that I'd be giving that referral, but really the better you thoroughly check them out, the better. I really believe that. And keeping small things in mind, you know, if the guy in the middle of July says he can, you talk to him on a Saturday and he can be there Monday, that's a red flag. You know, why isn't he busy? Like, he should be booked.
Yeah.
So really let your instincts guide you there. They're more expensive, but they're qualified and they're insured. And they are the way to go. I mean, you will always find, I get this a lot with people who just want to plant a tree and they really think, well, it's just digging a hole, you know, but there's a right way and a wrong way
That's
to plant
right.
a tree. And yeah, you can find a guy. I always say there's that guy in a blue truck with a shovel who will plant it for you for cheap. But when that tree dies because it wasn't planted properly, or was planted too deep, or it wasn't planted deep enough, or the roots weren't handled properly, where's that guy in the blue truck, you know? So really, it is really beneficial to, it's a little bit more, but you get what you pay for, to make sure you have someone qualified, someone with insurance, and someone, you know, if it's planting a tree in your backyard and he does some damage to the pool or does some damage to something, you know, you want, heaven forbid that happen, but you want someone.
It does happen.
You know, accidentally, no one's going to try and do that on purpose, but you definitely want someone with insurance. So that's something to think about when you're comparing rates. You know, they're not going to compete, right? So that is definitely something to think about. And coming up in February, I'll be talking to Mike Pennington, who's a landscape contractor friend of mine. And he's here in Durham region, and he works really closely with a designer friend of mine, Nancy. And he's going to be on the show, and he's going to be talking about the importance of working with a designer as well as hiring a qualified contractor. So I'm really looking
forward to
Mike to come in. Yeah, he's with Lakeridge Contracting,
mm-hmm.
and he's quite the YouTube sensation. He does these great YouTube videos, and he did a really good talk a few weeks ago at Landscape Ontario. Remember that designer conference I went to?
Yep. And he was there as a speaker.
He was there as a speaker, yep. And he's actually speaking tomorrow morning as well. There's the Durham Region chapter meeting is tomorrow morning. And Mike is going to give us a talk there. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to having him on the show on February 23rd.
I just had an epiphany. That
Did
means
you?
Every time someone comes live in the studio on your show,
yes,
we should tell them they have to bring Reality Radio 101 a plant.
Oh, okay.
That
and I know you really want me to have somebody in the studio. I haven't
done that
yet.
No, that's okay.
So
I'm just saying, no.
Okay.
But that way they can bring me plants. And that's how I can build up my 15 to 18 NASA
that's
recommended
right. That's
plants.
Right. That's yes. right. That's how you, what you
That'd
can do.
That'd be great.
So
very nice.
So, yeah. And also was talking, another thing that I get asked a lot, too, is when you're buying or selling a home, you know, people say, well, you know, you see it out there in print. Oh, if you're spending money on landscaping, it should be 20% of, I think that's the number tossed around the most, of the value of your home is what you should invest on the outside of your home, which can be a lot in this day and age. But
is that true? 20%?
Yeah.
That seems kind of high.
It does seem high, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, but I've got a good friend. I was chatting with her online, and I'm hoping she'll be in the next few weeks to give us her take as a real estate agent, how she can fill us in on the things that you should address. Just like in the house, you know, you've got the best places to spend your bucks when you're renovating in order to get it back. And I think the same goes with the outside of your home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to Suzanne to be on and for us to chat about
that. She gonna be here live?
I don't think she'll be here live.
There goes a plant.
I know. I'm sorry.
There goes a plant.
I know. There
That's
goes
okay.
a plant. So yes, I'm looking forward to that. So I think that's a common thing. We all want to know how much do you spend. Nobody wants to spend too much.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go out and spend money and then have the next guy come and wreck it all, you know?
You know, but when you brought up that 20%, if you think about, let's say I just we have a real estate show here now.
Oh.
On Saturday mornings.
Excellent.
And he was saying the average house in Durham, in Oshawa, Whitby, you know, is going for now close to $400,000.
Wow.
So if you took 20% of that, that's $80,000.
Yeah.
Now, I can understand $80,000 would have a hell of a beautiful garden.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't see, if you and I put $80,000 worth of landscape in our home,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that be like tropical? I mean, it'd be amazing.
Well, it certainly wouldn't all be plants. So a lot of that would be you're talking
stonework.
You're
and
talking
decking
a patio and
yeah,
a deck.
Okay, yeah.
You're talking possibly a pergola. You're talking
what's
you know,
that?
Pergola is like a wooden, like the wooden structures over a patio.
Okay.
That kind of have the wood beams across
yeah.
and the
Something,
four pillars.
It looks Japanese kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Sometimes mm-hmm. and you can kind of weave. You can have it for privacy. You know, some people have.
Yeah.
Floating lattice screens on the sides if they want privacy from
yeah.
their neighbors, or if it's for shade, the tops can be I should know all the technical terms, but they can be tighter together, or they can be farther apart, and you can put a fabric through it.
Oh, nice!
That provides
yeah.
like a shade cloth. So
yeah.
Yeah, so 80 does seem like a lot, but between the back and the front, you know, if you did a front
mm-hmm.
walkway, if you need stairs,
mm-hmm.
that kind of adds to the price. If you want to do a soldier course around your driveway and
mm-hmm.
then a walkway from the front yard to the backyard. So
it can add up.
It can slowly add up
yeah.
for sure. For sure. And I think there's some homes where, you know, you walk up to it and nothing's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though the price may seem great, you're thinking, wow, I got to do all, you know, the deck is falling apart. I'm
yeah.
going to have to, right away, I'm going to have to do this and do this and do this. So.
That's where Brian comes in, that TV show.
Yes.
You're familiar
yes,
with Brian?
Yes, I'm familiar.
He goes to the person and he says, well, how much do you have to work with?
Yes. Yes.
And then he chooses.
My mom is a fan. My mom just asked
yeah.
me last night if I
really?
Watched his show. And I haven't
yeah,
watched
there you
his
go.
Show.
Wow.
So I watched the Super Bowl. I did not watch
that. Well, that's right. Well, we just want to say to our listeners that the next step for Down the Garden Path is a TV show for Joanna.
Oh, yes.
That's
not
what
at
you
all.
Need.
Yeah, that's Gary's
could
idea.
You, but could you imagine
what
like
about
you're
the
showing?
Book? You were talking to me about a book.
You should do the book.
Okay.
But I think a gardening show that my production company, we can arrange filming of that. We have the equipment to do that. And following you on a beautiful path, the stuff you did, whatever, and you're actually explaining, but we're filming it.
Okay.
How beautiful is that?
That would be interesting.
Come on.
That's for
I'm
sure.
telling you.
I'll definitely have to think about that.
You have
that.
To.
And if my contractor, I don't know if the contractors
we'll
are
have
listening.
To do that.
We'll have to see.
That would be great.
So I'm excited. I've got some really good shows lined up for February. So I'm looking forward to having Suzanne and Mike on. And I'd be interested to who's doing the show. You said the real estate agent on Saturday?
Yeah, we have our his name is Randy Rodney.
Rodney, putting you on the spot.
I know,
sorry.
But that's his name, Randy Rodney, and he's a Century 21 broker.
Oh, that is his name, Randy Rodney.
That's his name.
Okay.
Yeah, his actual name, and he has a show here called Your Home, Your Money.
Oh, okay.
And it's on 11 a.m. to 12 o'clock noon on Saturdays.
Okay.
So and he doesn't really get into what you're talking about,
yeah.
But he does talk about, he did his first show, that landscaping is very important to sell a home and to, you know, keep a home upgraded and that type of thing.
Yes.
So absolutely.
Yeah. And not all, and what I do want to stress is not all landscaping is created equal. So,
yeah.
You know, just don't let that $80,000 example scare you. But, you know, if you spend 10 and you think your house is now worth that 20% more, you know, it's got to be done properly.
That's right. And it comes
down
to what you want. And that's why it's important to use a planner, a landscape designer, because, you know, it all comes down, regardless of how much money if you plan to spend, $20,000 or $80,000, what do you need? What does it require? What are your wants? What are your needs?
Yes.
And that's where the final price comes out, right?
Yeah.
When you figure that all out, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And really, I think even though our summer season is fairly short, it's still an extension of our homes, the outdoor rooms.
Right.
And with the addition these days of the outside patio heaters, fire pits, that type of thing, people are using their backyards. They're really extending it to, you know, from April till November.
Yeah.
So so that investment, I think, can be really worth it in the long run. So
Very nice.
So that is good. So lots to talk about more about February. And I don't know if you remember, I had Amanda on in January
I
as
do.
Well.
Yeah,
yep. She's has her business in Peterborough. And she was doing a talk. We talked a little bit about native plants on her show. And she was doing I think we talked on the Monday and on the following Sunday. So this was, you know, in January 25th, I believe. She was doing a talk at a local community center about native plants. She was doing a presentation. And even with our conversation, I really learned a lot and really learned that I did want to learn more about native plants. I have some exposure to them. But I followed up with her, and on a Sunday, snowy Sunday, cold Sunday in January, she actually had 40 people in attendance, which was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I think that really shows that our listeners and people are getting more and more aware of native plants and all the birds and issues with the birds and the bees and the butterflies have really brought this to our more to our attention. So so I was, even after that show, I can remember driving home thinking, boy, I want to learn more. So I've been on the hunt for the last couple of weeks trying to find another speaker who can talk to us more about native plants, another guest. And so I'm happy to announce that next week, Miles McKenzie with the North American Native Plant Society will be my guest speaker or guest on the show. He will be a call-in as well, Gary. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
But I'm really looking forward to that and learning more from him about native plants. He's a landscape architect in downtown Toronto, and he's, you know, really involved with the city and how they're instituting native plants in public spaces. So I think that's really a great topic, and he agreed with helping homeowners figure out how to add native plants to our homes and our gardens and our yards.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that is our February 9th show.
Very nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. And last week we spoke with Richard from Skyline Tree Service about trees. He's an arborist. And he talked a lot about, once again, just like with contractors and landscape designers, the importance of hiring a qualified professional when it comes to cutting down trees. And he did mention how he spends a lot of his time talking people out of cutting down their tree. So, you know.
Wow, that's different, huh?
So I think that's the difference. You know, when you call just some guy that just cuts down trees, regardless of what's wrong with your tree, if you tell them to cut it, they're just going to cut it. But if you think there's something wrong and you want to make sure, then that's when you call an arborist. And an arborist is going to diagnose it. It's going to tell you the best he's going to tell you the best treatment options. And tell you whether the tree just needs to be pruned, whether it really does need to come down. So I think that's a really important thing that I got from our talk with Richard. And I also, I don't know if you caught at the end, I know it was kind of a rapid fire questions at the end of our call, but I was asking him when, you know, people think about all those mature trees that get damaged in ice storms and wind storms and pruning those. But when, you know, your average size home and your average trees, when should they be first pruned? You know, when should you really consider?
That's right.
Yeah, when should you consider having a professional take a look at them? And I was surprised. He said, you know, 5 or 6 years. So, and that, but although as much as I was surprised when he said it, that made sense, because that's going to catch anything, you know, if that tree wasn't planted properly and it's choking itself out, let's say with the roots, it's girdled, or other issues, or it's having competing leaders. Those are some different technical terms. That's a time where they can really help the tree and help it to grow properly, and helps you avoid larger problems down the road and more expensive problems, because it's a lot more expensive if they've got to climb the tree and do all those things with the tree. So, yeah, that I think we had a great time with Richard, and I feel
very knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, very knowledgeable, and I feel like, especially with the rapid fire questions at the end, that we ran out of time, and so he has agreed to come back on the show. So I look forward to picking a date in March with him, and we can. You know, gather up our questions. So please, if you have any more questions for me about trees, pruning questions, please have them, send them to me.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely have a list for Richard when he is back in.
And if Richard ever comes on live, he's bringing us a tree, not a plant.
Oh, you want a tree from him?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We'll bring a tree. Right. So, well, we're ready for another commercial break.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. So what are we listening to, folks?
We are listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm Joanne Shaw, and we will be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101.
Put the special into your special event. With our finger on the pulse of today's event scene, we provide for all your entertainment needs. Amuse and amaze with look-alike performers, illusionists, and interactive entertainment. Fill the air with jazz, dance music, classic rock, Latin, and disco. Thrill your guests with tarot and psychic readings. And treat the kids with children's entertainers, face painting, inflatables, and more. When your reputation is on the stage, let our reputation for excellence earn you a standing ovation. For more information, visit aratoevents.com. Worlds Collide is Oshawa's premier comic and game store. We stock an eclectic selection of comics and graphic novels for all ages and tastes, all sold at U.S. cover prices. Let our friendly, knowledgeable staff find something new and unusual for you to read. Our game department specializes in Magic the Gathering, with a huge selection of single cards available and regular weekly in-store play. We also stock board games, RPGs, dice, and supplies. Can't find what you're looking for? Just ask and we'll order it in. Worlds Collide, 80 Simcoe Street North in Oshawa, feeding your imagination since 1982.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Contact Joanne right now, realityradio101 at yahoo.com. How much money? We barely made enough to survive. And now, Canada's rock and roll landscape designer, Joanne Shaw.
Hi there. Welcome back.
You are, right?
Yes. Yeah. You can tell I really like this music, right?
Of course. You always have a big smile
yes,
on your
yes,
face.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, I never know what you're leading in with. So
I have no clue either.
No? Okay. So, but it's always good. So, yes, I do enjoy it. So, hard rock girl at heart, for sure.
That's right.
So we were just talking about trees and pruning questions. So please, once again, regardless of how you, I don't know whether email or social media, send me a tweet. Please, I'd love to have some good questions lined up for Richard when he's back. I know I have a few more that were on my list when he was here last that I hope to get to. So, yeah. And the other thing I wanted to mention, and certainly not leaving the least for, or what is it, the last for least, whatever, not the least, I spoke to Miriam Goldberger today, and she's kind of known as the Wildflower Whisperer, and she has a new book out called Taming Wildflowers, and she has a farm up in, called Wildflower Farm up in Schaumburg. And I also know her. I've talked to many of my customers about EcoLawn. It's kind of a specialized grass seed that doesn't require mowing or watering, Gary.
Is that right?
I know.
Does
it's
it go dormant,
cool.
though, or
it
something?
It doesn't. No, it's good.
Okay,
it's really cool. So it's just a little challenging turning your current, it's a slow process turning your current lawn into an eco-friendly lawn, an EcoLawn. But if you're starting from scratch, then it's definitely the way
easy,
to go.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so could you explain a little bit about that? Because there is a lawn in the United States, and I can't remember what they call it. And it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's real grass and everything. And you put that in there, it resists drought, you don't have to water it, whatever, and it looks luscious, it's green, but in the winter, in the fall, it goes dormant and the whole thing turns brown.
Oh.
So it looks like dead grass, like the sun killed it.
Really? That
so
would that be like in Arizona, that type of thing?
Well, they even it's available in the Northeast, where I was from originally, New York, and I, at one time, when I had my home up there, I was thinking about that, and then I saw pictures of what it looks like in the fall, and it was absolutely terrible looking. It looks like someone didn't take care of your grass the whole year, right?
Oh, okay.
But all through the summer months, you know, they recommend it's once or twice a year you have to cut it in the summer, if that.
Yeah.
You only have to water it once every 2 to 3 weeks, no matter how hot it is. But it turns a brown, golden brown in the winter, or not so much in the winter, but in the fall leading up to the winter.
Okay.
So people go by your house and they look and they go, oh my God, like everyone still has a green lawn.
Yes.
And yours looks like pancake brown,
oh,
you know?
Okay. No,
so
there's
it's
nothing
not the
about
same?
That. No, it's not the same. I believe this one has deeper roots.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading about it here. I pulled up the website. So highly drought tolerant once established.
Yep.
EcoLawn has a beautiful deep green grass color. It requires less fertilizing and can be mown like a regular lawn or left unmown for a free-flowing carpet effect.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
It can grows in full sun, part shade, and even deep shade, which that tends to be a big issue for
that
people.
That is, trying to grow grass in shade.
That's right. And also the people with full sun, that grass tends to burn out, you know, as much as you're out there having to water it a ton, or else it does go dormant. So, so EcoLawn. It's available, I mean, she is kind of the distributor of it, but it is available in local nurseries nearby as well. So, it's
would that
be
a seed or would it be?
It is a seed.
It's not like a sod where you'd have
to. No, I think because they can't do it by sod because of the deep roots.
So
they'd be cutting, yeah.
Would you know that, let's say someone aerated their lawn really heavily and they decided to use that seed in the spring.
Yes.
Would that work as well? Like, even though you have an established lawn.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, by reseeding, you know, aerating, reseeding, would that take hold as well, some of that?
It will, yes. So from the research I've done, it would take 3 to 5 years to completely, completely turn your lawn from your existing lawn by overseeding every year. It would take 3 to 5 years to completely turn it over to be a complete eco lawn.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's doable. It
it's
certainly
doable
is a bit more patient. Yeah, for sure.
I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
This year.
Okay.
That's it. Because if I can get that seed, I reseed, overseed anyhow, I might as well use that type of seed.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. No, for sure. And I've bought it and I've tried it as well. So I'm trying that slow process of turning it over. my lawn over into that as well. So we can try that together. And I'm sure Miriam will tell us more about that. She's coming in on April.
Yeah.
And we're definitely getting geared up for lawns and gardens.
That's a great time
to
seed.
Yeah, it's a great time to seed. And I'm looking forward to speaking to her about her book as well and all other exciting things that she does up on Wildflower Farm. So
let me ask you a question about that.
Sure.
When you, if someone's listening and they say, we are planning to overseed this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when you have a bare spot, it's nice to, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you take a rake and you want to rough up the soil a little bit, that type of thing. However, you're not going to really do that on an established lawn. You will get a rake out, a soft rake, I would think, and just clean up some of the thatching and all that stuff. But do you recommend, is aeration a really good way to go about your lawn before you reseed? You know.
Oh, yes. Before you would do that before you reseed. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise then you're just disturbing all the seed that's just, you know, when the seed starts to just germinate, it's still pretty fragile. So if you aerated afterwards.
Yeah. But I mean,
seed. Or if you didn't. Oh, I see.
Would it be better to aerate before you seeded or not aerate at all and just reseed?
I think it's important to aerate. I know the experts say that as well. And I've kind of hit or miss with it. I've been doing it more consistently with mine because I do know that thatch just, it's a lot of work to get rid of that thatch.
Yeah.
So it's almost easier to deal with the aeration than it is to try and get that rake out and get rid of that thatch that's really choking the roots of the grass that we have.
And you have someone come in with that?
I do,
A machine, right?
Yeah, they come in with the machine.
Yeah.
Now, one tip I have about that is one of my pet peeves is, and you probably get this in Whitby as well. Do you get the guys knocking on the door on the first sunny day in March?
They get
knocking on the door with their little machines and they want to do your lawn. Please say no. Really, really important to not aerate. As important as it is to aerate your lawn, it's important not to do it too early. And a lot of times you see them when they do it too early, all it's doing is chewing up your lawn and making an absolute mess. And then by the time it really is time to aerate your lawn, you've got to do it again.
What's the time frame? When
should
we say yes?
It depends on the weather, but it is April. I've sent the guys away. I said, I'm not doing it in March. You can come back at the beginning of April.
Okay, so it is April you would recommend.
Yep, and again, it depends. If it's been a wet, really wet April, then definitely wait until the lawn is dried out.
Okay.
We've had a whole weekend of rain, and they show up on Monday morning, say no. Say come back in
a
week.
Okay, good advice.
I've had seen people, and I just think to myself, oh, my goodness, they've just made a mess. Because you want the aeration to improve your lawn. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to completely decimate it.
Right, right.
People
don't know that.
No, people don't know that, and they figure since the kids are out there, it must be time to do it, but really it's not. So that is one of mine. You got me on that little kick there.
No, but I'm glad you said that because it's very important where we do aerate when we do have the people come around. I can't really remember when it was, but March would be too early.
Yeah, I think so. And to think of this past March, think of how wet everything still was, even the beginning of April. We hung on to the snow for quite a while. So yeah, if you can't, and that's one of the things I'll talk about shows in the spring, is one common mistake is people get out there too soon. You know, even though it's a nice day, dipping and walking all over our gardens and lawns when it still is pretty wet is not a good thing. It's really counterproductive because here you're aerating because you want to improve the soil. But if you're walking all over the lawn and you're having the machine all over the lawn, then you're just compacting the soil. So it's really not beneficial. But it's a common mistake. It really is. And so then the future spring rains are just running off your garden because you've just packed everything down. So nothing is, you ever been there where you then go to plant something and even though it's just rained, you know, you go to dig and the soil's still dry and you're like, what happened?
That's good point. That's
some
a very
of my
good
little
point.
Tips that we'll be talking about more in detail as we get to spring. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to giving you tips and tricks for when we can actually get our hands dirty and get out in the garden. So I also wanted to ask our listeners to, you know, follow me on social media, connect with me. I don't know whether you just listen on the radio or the internet, whether you follow people on Facebook and you like seeing the visual pictures, that type of thing. I'm on Twitter, I'm going to get in the hang of the Twitter thing. So if you're on Twitter, then please send me a message and let's connect.
And if someone wants to get a hold of you again and also wants to receive your newsletter, What's the best way that they can do that?
Yeah, the best way is actually my website. So the best way is downtoearth.ca, my website. You can sign up for my newsletter there. You can read my blog. I've got about 3 years of blog posts up there for different seasons and different topics that you might be interested in. And all my social media there, you know, those little clicky icons that you can click on, that's the best way to follow me. So,
and we just want to stress that Down to Earth is the number two.
Oh, yes. Thank you,
because a lot of people would put T-W-O or T-O or
yes.
T-O-O, and then you'll say, she's not on there.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a good idea at the time,
yeah.
And it still is.
I still think so.
I like it. I like it with my new logo, but I do always have to explain that. But I think it then helps stay in people's minds. So, and if you are on Twitter, there's a great community that I've discovered. It's hashtag Garden Chat. And regardless of where you are in the world, so everybody kind of has, you know, obviously a different climate and different zones, but it's a really great community. And on Monday nights, actually after the show, they always have a Twitter chat, which, you know, is kind of new to me, and it's pretty fast paced, but you should try checking it out. It's tonight at 9, from 9 till 10. It's called the Twitter chat. And again, the hashtag is hashtag Garden Chat.
Very nice.
It's a really neat way to, last week's topic was winter interest, and this week I believe the topic is soil. So I've got some questions there too to find out about. I don't do a lot of soil testing, that type of thing, soil analysis. So I'm kind of curious to find out what they're saying about that type of thing. So
very nice.
And also I know I had on a guest in December about the Pickering Horticultural Society, which I'm also a member of. So I wanted to just give a shout out to them. And their meeting is always the second Tuesday of the month. And so that'll be next Tuesday in Pickering. So
you will be there?
I will be there.
Signing autographs, I heard, right?
No.
I thought you were.
And there's a guest speaker, and I believe we're discussing a dry shade. And actually, it's...
What's dry shade?
Like planting in dry shade.
Oh.
So shade under shade trees, mm-hmm. or just dry.
Yeah.
And actually, it's normally there's a flower show every... I don't know if you remember when Sigrid was talking, there's a flower show.
Yes.
But in February, because there's no flowers, it's actually a food show. So people
food?
Bring... I know, it's food.
I'll
people
be there.
Bring in their goodies, and we get to vote on who wins prizes, and so it's quite fun. So if you want
Excellent.
Some more information, you can give me a call or email me or tweet me. But
and
so
it's about time to wrap up, right?
I think so.
Any last words?
No, just thank you very much for listening. Again, please connect with me in one shape or another. And thanks again for joining me down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Joanne Shaw and Down the Garden Path right here on Reality Radio 101.